It has become a pleasure in my heart to have our friends Ed and Cheryl Jelliff visit us from Pennsylvania. It's a greater joy for Lisa. So if you've never had the pleasure of hearing Ed minister before, buckle up your seatbelts, because he ain't going to drive slow. And get ready for a feast. Ed?
I was preaching at a community event years ago, and the community event happened to be held in a Catholic building, and they gave me full rein of the front of the building, and so Hallelujah. I took full rein. And when I was done with what the Lord had laid on my heart, I made it my way to the back of the building, and the priest stood back there, and he was a little bit like a deer in headlights, but the only thing he could say to me is, "You project well." So I thought he was accusing me of having a big mouth, but he said not. And just something that the Lord has laid on my heart is to bring the word. And I do have just one speed; it's full speed ahead. And you know, the Lord and had come into my life, and at the age of 31, and I had promised the Lord that I would not. I had messed up my life fairly well from 0 to 31, and he said, "I said, if you want it, you can have." And he traded me, and he's reminded me of that, and he's guaranteed me. I know with all my heart, he's guaranteed me 31 years to serve him, because I spent 31 years serving myself. So I know that I will live to at least 62, and beyond that, it's all a gift, and so up to that, it's a gift as well, right? So. I am a Pennsylvania resident, but I am a Buffalo Bill fan, so I do wear that a little close to my heart. I am a Bills fan. I'm a hardcore Bills fan, and I do pastor in Pittsburgh Steeler country, so it's a little rough at times, and especially when the blasted Steelers keep winning, and so they often razz me about that, and they actually give me a terrible towel, and I started to wait my spit on it as I was preaching, and that offended some, and so I did it all the more. But that was the year they won the last time they won the Super Bowl, and they said at the end, they thank you for wiping all that holy sweat on that towel. You did something. So I traded that towel for a Bills towel, and I tried. It hasn't worked in the last 4 years. So it wasn't. I didn't have anything to do with that. Cheryl and I like to go to the game time a year. And to get up there and just, I often think when I get done at the Bills game that that's what church should be like. Yep. There is so much energy in the stadium. And it's because everybody is looking at one thing. And you can identify the enemy, how about it? You know when they come in. It's just an exhilarating time. Cheryl and I do reside in just south of Altoona. We have two grown girls, and a son-in-law and two granddaughters. Brinley is just turned 6, and Ariana is about, well, she was a leap day baby a year ago, so she's about 18 months, 19 months, whatever that ends up with. She gets a birthday every 4 years, so that's going to be easy on the wallet. But as I was growing up, we had Bethany. I had just turned 19 when I became a father, and so I kind of grew up with my kids, and I played right along with them many, many times on the floor or on my lap. They would carry their stuff up on, and I've often said that I have much more experience in judging fashion shows with Barbies than I do with playing with cars or trucks. And I really try. I buy tractors, and then Barbie ends up sitting on the tractor. You know, it continues to the next generation that I try to buy a truck, or I try to buy a tractor or something, and it always gets turned into Barbie. I was just sharing with Al on the way here that my oldest granddaughter, Brinley, likes me to play Barbie with her, and so as any good pap will do, we sit on the floor and we play Barbie. Well, in our house, you have a about a 20-gallon tub full of Barbies. And so you have a whole plethora of Barbies that you can play with. And so she assigns me my Barbie and maybe a two or three Barbies and a couple of different guys. Well, I have to make sure I use a girl voice when I speak for the Barbie. And so I'm glad that nothing's on YouTube yet on video, but so I indulge in, you can't use the same girl voice for two different girls. And you can't use the girl voice for the boy, and you can't use the same voice for more than one boy. So it gets rather difficult to play with Barbies in our house with all the rules and regulations that goes on with it. And so, but tractors and trucks, they don't get much action in our house. And one of the toys that I think is a neutral toy that I like to get into with my granddaughters and even with my daughters when they were younger, Legos. Legos are something that's very universal, and Legos can be, you can make whatever you want. If you want to make a Barbie house, you can make a Barbie house. You want to make a tractor, you can make a tractor. And so I like playing with Legos with my kids. And so I got some Legos, and I don't know if I get boring, you can just put them together, you know. So it gives you, I always think I'm going to give you something to do at least. You know, why if you're not listening, at least you have something to do. I give you, hey, how about it? You didn't know you were going to get that, did you? That's pretty cool. So here's one for you. How about it? You want one? Sure. How about? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So on the cover of your Barbies, I'm already saying Barbie, I got Barbie brain now, but on the cover of your container, you have a picture on that container. All right, can you see what picture it is? Okay, push the button. Robert and I are going to work together to get the buttons. He said, I got a little, it's Robert, right? Yeah. See, I got a little clicker. He said, I can give you a clicker. And I said, I can't preach and click at the same time. You and I are going to have to work together here. You can do the clicking, I'll do the preaching. Or you can do the preaching and I'll do the clicking. Whatever you want. Okay, you're going to preach?
Sure.
So, okay, all right. I like the confidence in the guy. So the name Lego is an abbreviation for two Danish words, leg and got, which means play well. Did you know that? And if you go out of here with nothing else, you go out here with a little trivia. So when next time you play Jeopardy and you say, ha ha, I know what that is. It means play well. Lego means play well. And so you each have a Lego kit with a picture, right? On the cover of what's in your kit, right? So, okay, here we go. Push the button, please. Here, number one. Who has number one? Okay, Sarah, you got to raise your hand really high. There you go. And you got to, this is number one. Okay, we're going to have a little contest here in a minute. There's number one, okay? You're number one. You're number one. I won't say that about number two, but you're number one, okay? Who has number two? Okay, one on the end. Okay, you got the guy on the end, okay? Who's number three? All right, and the guy in the back row must be number four, right? You got the T-Rex, okay? Now open up, just take a minute. Open up the cover of your box. And what if I had a timer, I would like you to put together that with the blocks you have in your little container, put together what you see on the cover. What'd you say? Okay, wait a minute. You ready? Go. I'm going to give you like 8 or 9 seconds. Maybe 12. How you doing? Okay. Does it look like your picture? Okay. Stop the time. All right, see, the problem is that she, and what's your name? Caitlin has discovered that she doesn't have all the pieces. All right. So she's got a picture of what it's supposed to look like, but she doesn't have all the pieces to put that picture together. And I would think that the rest of you are very similar to that. You can make it look similar. You didn't do too bad. Stand up and take a bow here for a minute. He didn't do too bad. Right? He got a portion of what you're number three, right? Was you number three? Yeah, so he got it. He got okay. He got it pointed in the right direction at least, right? Yeah, okay. That's a little sketchy there. How about you? Yours still looks like all the pieces. All right. How about the guy who led us in worship? You can do anything back there. He got nothing. So, you're not supposed to eat them, man. All right. So he's got green and white. Okay. He's got something that looks like something, but we don't know if it looks like the picture or not, right? See, one thing I got to warn you about, too, I never took a preaching class in college because I studied youth ministry. So I really don't know how to preach, so I just kind of get up here and do what the Lord leads me to do. And sometimes it sounds crazy, but I think Caitlin has got the yours is getting there, right? You got a little bit of the pieces to understand what the picture might be able to look like, or what it should be looking like. But you got a picture, and you got some pieces, but you don't have all the pieces to the picture. I think that's kind of like life. I think as we navigate life, I think we've got a picture of what this life looks like that God wants us to have, but we don't have all the pieces, Caitlin. We don't have all the pieces. Because I think that's what God does, is He navigates us through life. I think He adds the pieces to us. He doesn't, in the heavenlies, we're all put together. How about it? Yeah. On the earth, we're not all put together yet. In the heavenlies, we got a whole tank of righteousness. In the natural, we're working at it, right? We're putting it together. God's putting it together. Because, see, there's some of your pieces are in this box. And some of your pieces are in this box. And even some of the directions are in this box. And you know what? And some of your pieces are in this bag. And God says, I want to move you from place to place to place, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to add a piece to your life every step you take. And I'm going to put you together. I got a picture out there of what I want your life to look like. You got to trust me, Caitlin. She'll never sit in the front again.
Yes, she will. One of the reasons we sit in the front.
That's right. I remember you sat right back there. Right. Right. It's like a hockey game. We need a plexiglass here. It's like it has spit on you. Come on. I'm out of breath already. I'm like a lineman running back with a foul, or, you know, like a fumbled ball. You know, those guys run like 20 yards. Like, but nobody can tackle them, so they just kind of walk the rest of the way because they're like 300 pounds. But as we walk through life, as we navigate life, what's your name? Jeff. God wants to put you together. I got a heart because for young people like this, because some of us have got pieces that aren't included in our life. And we put pieces on us rather than letting God put us together. And then we end up having to say, what piece, God, do you want to let go? Oh, it hurts to let it go. So God can put another piece on. The piece that He has for us. He wants to put us together. In Philippians 3:12, I think it's on the screen, Robert. Not that I've already, Paul is talking, the Apostle Paul is saying this. Not that I've already obtained all of this. Let me, my translation. Not that I've been already put together. I haven't got to all the pieces yet. Or have been made perfect or complete. But I press on to take a hold of that for which Christ Jesus took a hold of me. I will look like the picture that God's got for me. I will not lay down until I look like the picture that God's got for me. I will press on to take a hold of that which Christ took a hold of me. I will be made perfect in the natural and in the spiritual. I will be made complete. And I will not give up until I am made complete. I will not lay down until God's got me together. And one day He'll take me home and I'll all be together. But there's a lot of togetherness that He's going to do on this earth. And He's going to build us up step by step by step. But I want to unpack this a little bit tonight. As you navigate toward the bag. As you navigate toward the pieces that are in the bag. As you navigate toward those. And as you move toward those pieces that are part of your life, Caitlin, they're your life. They're yours. God says they're yours. Let me take you to them so I can put you together. Because you're going to be made complete. You're going to be made perfect. Strive forward. But I want to unpack this tonight. I know we could go here for hours unpacking the life that God has for us. And I want to just one avenue, Jeff, just one avenue of you walking with God toward the next box
toward the next pieces, toward the next instruction, toward the next piece that belongs to you, Jeff, that belongs to you. I want to talk about something that stands between you and that next piece, between you and what God wants to do in your life. And I want to turn to a very popular passage of scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 and following. Let me read some of this to you. Some of it's on the screen. And I know we know this. I know we've learned it. If you've been if you've been a part of a church since you've grown up, you've probably seen this story in Flannel Graph. Or you've seen it on the Veggie Tales. Or you've seen it drawn on the board. You've seen this story. And I think it moves out of the kid's story and into the human story, into the adult story. I don't think the Bible only contains stories for kids. I think they're real life situations and really real life people. 1 Samuel 17. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Soko in Judah. They pitched their camp at Ephes Damon. Between Soko and Azekah, Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle lines to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites the other hill, with a valley between them. A great champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. Let me give you a little hermeneutics, which is just how you study the Bible, right? The word Philistine, Robert, push the button. The word Philistine means destructive enemy. Okay? Soko means thorn hedge. Judah means may God be praised. Ephes Damon means boundary of blood. Azekah means place tilled or the fertile ground. Israel means soldier of God. Elah means large oak and champion, the one who wins. And Goliath means soothsayer or I predict your future. And Gath means winepress. So now let me read the passage again. Now the destructive enemy gathered their forces for war and assembled at Thorn Hedge in the middle of May My God Be Praised. They pitched camp at the boundary of blood between Thorn Hedge and a place tilled. Saul and the soldiers of God assembled and camped in the valley of the large oak. And they drew up their battle lines to meet the destructive enemy. The destructive enemy occupied one hill and the soldiers of God the other, with a valley between them. The one who wins named, I predict your future, who was from the winepress, came out of the destructive enemy camp. He was over 9 feet tall. Continuing in the passage, I predict your future, an agent of the destructive enemy with a bronze helmet on his head. And he wore a coat of scale armor, a bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. And on his legs, he wore bronze greaves and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels or 15 pounds. His shield bearer went with him. Verse 8, Goliath, I predict your future, stood and shouted at the ranks of God's soldiers. Why do you come out here and line up for battle? Am I not the destructive enemy? And aren't you the servants of Saul? He just reduced them. You do nothing. You got to be kidding me. You're the soldiers of God. And all you're doing over there is hanging out under the oak tree. Pah. You're just a servant of a man. There is no living God inside of you. There is no living God in your camp. You're a servant of Saul. Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he, the soldier of God, is able to fight and kill me, the predictor of your future and agent of the destructive enemy. We, the destructive enemy, will become your subjects. But if I, the predictor of your future and the agent of the enemy, if I win, if I overcome him, the soldier of God, and kill him, the soldier of God, you, the soldiers of God, will become, are the destructive enemy's subject and serve us, the destructive enemy. Am I making sense tonight? Verse 10 and 11 says this. Then the Philistines, or the destructive enemy, said, "This day I defy the ranks of God's soldiers." Give me a man and let us fight each other. On hearing the Philistines, the destructive enemy's words, Saul and all the Israelites, the soldiers of God, were dismayed and full of fear. You've got to be kidding me. The enemy says, "I got your pieces, and you ain't getting to them. I can't do a thing about the pieces because God has those in his hand. But I can stand in your way, and you will never get to those pieces because I predict your future. Because I hold your future in my hand," says the enemy. "The pieces I know are of God, and he wants to add them to your life. But come hell or high water, you'll never get to them. I will stand in the middle, and I will stand in the way of your Azekah." Azekah means the fertile ground. You know what fertile ground means? The places where God's got your pieces growing for you. "And we will draw up our lines, and we will stand in the thorn hedge while you sit under a tree, soldiers of God. And we will stop you from getting to the fertile ground. We will stop you, Jeff, from getting to your Azekah. We will stop you, and you will never be put together the way God wants you to be put together. Oh, maybe you can wait to heaven, but you will not get it on this earth. I will stop you, and you will not get it on this earth. I, Goliath, predict your future. And I am 9 feet tall. And I have a mighty, destructive enemy. So stay under your tree, church. Stay under your tree. Be happy." What if verse 12 read this? Push the button. What if verse 12 read this? "And they spent the rest of their days happy just to be alive and settling for much less than God had intended." I think what verse 12 says. Amen. Aren't you glad verse 12 doesn't say that? And it's high time you and I get off and behind the oak tree. Because your pieces are in the Azekah. Your pieces are in the fertile ground. Your pieces are that next person you're going to witness to, and you're going to bow your knee with them, and they're going to come to Christ, and God's going to put you together. Because another one has just stepped into the eternal destiny with God. And he's going to give you victory over something in your life. And that piece is here. That piece is here. And the piece is ready for you. But I'm telling us, there's a mighty enemy that stands between you and your Azekah. Verse 12 does add another character. "Now David was the son of the Epaphrite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah," in the middle of, may my God be praised. What the heck is the enemy doing in the middle of your God be praised? Did you ever wonder that? Hey, wait a minute, this is my God be praised. Why are you in the middle of my God be praised? because I'm a destructive enemy. Yeah, but you're in the middle of my may God be praised. I think we need to do something about that. Because I'm not just a servant of a man. I'm a soldier of God. So if the enemy has convinced you, you're just a servant of a man, you just go to church, you just sit there, you're a good little girl, you're a good little boy, let him know that that's not who you are. You are a soldier of the Most High God. And you're going to the Ezekiel, whether he likes it or not. Let me get David in the picture. Jesse had 8 sons in Saul's time, and he was old and well advanced in years, and Jesse's oldest sons had followed Saul to war. The firstborn was Eliab, and the second was Abinadab, and the third was Shema. Just so you know, I have to stand in front of the mirror just to repeat those names so I know how to say them. And so I say them quick so you don't know if I don't know how to say them or not. Frankly, I don't think you know how to say them either, so I don't worry. How about it? Steve, you know, we could call him Steve, Bill, and John, right? I'm glad David, he gets most of the booking in his chapter, and at least I can say his name. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep in Bethlehem. Look at verse 16. For 40 days. The destructive enemy came out every morning and every evening and took his stand. Flaunting his prediction of their future. Standing between them and their Ezekiel. Standing between them and the next pieces that God wants to put together in their life. I don't know about you, but that really ticks me off. The Legos that were part of their story were in the Ezekiel, was on the other side of Goliath, and something needed to be done. And for 40 days, or maybe your enemy's been barking you up a tree for 40 years, or 40 minutes, or 5 weeks, or half a life, or all your life, maybe. There is a real enemy standing between you. This is not just some crazy hillbilly from Pennsylvania. There is a real enemy saying you will not be put together. Not here. I predict your future. And you will not get to your Ezekiel. I will stop you. It's not just some lunatic from Pennsylvania that's trying to make a sermon that sticks. It's the Word of God. It's the real life. Ephesians 6:11, it's not on there, Robert. Don't push the button. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. We need to believe it, church. Amen. We got too many churches sitting under the oak tree. God says you will be an oak. You're not going to sit under an oak. Amen. You will be a mighty fortress. I'm putting you together. And I will build my church. And the gates of hell won't have a chance in hell against it. Because I'm going to do something in your life, and I'm going to do something in your life, and the enemy's going to try to stop you, and you're going to go right through him, Jeff, and you're going to get every piece that God has for you. And you're going to watch God put you together, and ultimately, when you hear, well done, good and faithful servant, here's another piece. What is your destructive enemy? Who is working to predict your future? Push the button. There you go. What destructive enemy is working to predict your future? Your future. Your future. I think addiction, where I come from, addiction says, I got you by the short hairs and I will control you and I will tell you what you're going to do tomorrow. you will never get to where God wants you to go. I got you. Push the button, please. Addiction. Our worship pastor just still left to pastor another church, another body of believers. Jim came in just clean of heroin 10 years ago, and he's leaving a pastor. How about it? Because his blocks were being realized by him. And the addiction tried to stop him over and over and over and over. I don't know if the most destructive part of the addiction, I think, is stopping you from going where God wants you to go. The addiction's got so many people and it's stopping them. I think sexual sin and divorce and depression and disease. I think the enemy says, I got you. You got a disease. You can't do that. You can't fight against me. You got a disease. Depression is overwhelming you. My definition of oppression is pushing you down until it gets enough life out of you, then it oppresses you. I got you. You can't do that. You can't get off and under me. You've had me for years. You and I got a relationship. I think self and anger and pride. And I think fear. I'm afraid. I'm afraid to go into battle. I'm afraid. I'm hard pressed on every side. Why? Because I'm advancing through the enemy to my Azekah. And I think lies and old wounds. We have a thing called soul care at New Life. People are going through soul care and they go back and they deal with those old wounds. Man, those old wounds can be stinky. And they've lied to you for years and years and years and years. Something your grandfather, your dad, your mom, somebody from the past has told you, and it's stuck like on you like truth. And now it's got you. And so you will not advance to where God's going to put you together. I got you. I think religiousness gets in the way. For crying out loud. We got enough religion. I don't like that song. Give me the old time religion. Take it to the curb, baby. Put it in a black paper bag. The big red truck will bring it out along in the morning, early. It'll throw it in the back of the big red truck and it'll take it away and you'll never see it again. Oh, yeah. It's awesome. And apathy. And laziness. What is apathy doing in the middle of may my God be praised? And insecurity and pleasure and confusion and bitterness. It gets down deep inside of us. And it keeps you on the other side of the thorn hedge, sitting under the tree, forsaking what God's got for you. The enemy is in the middle of your may my God be praised. That should just grind your teeth. If it doesn't, I need to come back. Because it's got to grind somebody's teeth. Because this world needs you to have the next piece. You know what the other truth is? And if I was at New Life, I would be throwing these things. I would throw them all over the place. I won't do it here. It'd be part of cleanup days next Saturday. You know what the thing is? You don't need all of them. You just need the one God's point you to. It's not just getting to the box. It's getting to the ones God wants put together. So the question is today, will you let the enemy continue to dictate your future, or will we take the tilled land in my Azekah? I need to get moving.
You want those? The answer is yes. Do you want that? Good. How about that? See, that's yours. See? Don't ever not look at the picture. Because this world's going to try to scheme you and taking things that's not yours. Let me just continue in the passage, verse 26. Here, push the button. Don't dodge the battle anymore. I'm going to give you DODGE points of how to get from there here through the enemy into your Zika and gathering up the pieces that God wants you to have. Here we go, verse 26. David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this destructive enemy and removes his disgrace from the soldiers of God?" That's a good question. That's a very good question. What if? So here, push the button. Dare to ask, what if? You want to move through the enemy? Just dare to ask, what if I get on the other side of that enemy? What if I get that next piece that God wants to put in my life? I bought this book. You think it's for kids, it's for counseling. I use it for counseling. It's the what if monster. Here's the first page of it. Some what if monsters like to hang out and fill our heads with worry and doubt. They are sneaky and quiet and quick as a blink. The words they whisper can change how we think. And Jonathan James heard those words full of dread, and all those what ifs got stuck in his head. And what if I climb that tree? Well, I'm going to climb that tree. What if I fall out? But halfway through the book, he said, now wait a minute, what if I don't? So you don't get the wrong what if stuck in your head.
That's right.
Get the what if. What if, dare to think, what if I come on the other? What if, what does that next piece look like that God wants to put in my life? Woo! David says, what if, what will be done? What will happen if this destructive enemy gets removed from, may my God be praised? He dared to dream. He dared to hope. He dared to think that God was going to do something in his life. He dared to ask, what if? What if I win this battle? What if I am put together like God wants me? What if my soul is restored step by step by step? All of a sudden, you start a little bit frothing at the mouth. I want it. I want it. I want what God has got for me. I am not made perfect yet. I am not complete. But one thing I do is I will strive forward to take a hold of that for which Christ took a hold of me. Ooh. I want it so bad for these young people, and I want it so bad for you. We need to dare to ask, what if? Don't dodge the fight. Dare to ask, what if? What if? Just start there. Verse 32 says this, David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this destructive enemy. Your servant will go fight him." The O is just this, opt to fight. Choose to fight. I use the word opt instead of choose because it begins with an O. And I couldn't spell dodge with a C in the middle of it. I tried. My computer wouldn't take it. Yeah, I hate spelling. It underlines. Half of my documents underlined in red. I said, so select all, add all my dictionary. That's the way I want to spell it. Opt to fight. Choose to fight. Choose to fight. But you're never going to choose to fight unless you ask, what if I get through it? The enemy is going to say, what if you don't? We'll deal with that in the middle then. but I will not sit under the oak tree anymore. You can draw your lines on the bloodlines. You can sit on the other side of the thorn hedge because the Azekah is where I'm after. You can have the bloodlines. You can have the thorn hedge. I'm after the Azekah. I'm coming through where God's got the next pieces for my life. I'm going to opt to fight. Verse 33 says this. Saul replied, "You're not able to go against the destructive enemy. He's been a part of your life for a long, long time. Don't screw with it. He's been in your life too long. What are you thinking?" He's too strong. And Saul is trying to talk him out of it. Have you ever been trying to, you're just your mind. My mind does that. Just tries to talk me out. Man, I'm going to get up. Man, that neighbor, I'm going to share Christ with him tomorrow. God, you've just flooded me. And I get up the next morning. It's like, oh, I guess he's not home. Or it's raining. You can never do it, man. You're never going to do it, Kevin. Just be satisfied. Sit under the oak tree, man. Just be happy with what you got. You got nice clothes. You got cool sneakers. What more could God have for you? Sit. You can't do it. You're too young. You're too old. Why did I look at this side when I said that? I don't know. That's right. You're too mature. Now I realize why you only invite me up here about every year and a half. No. That's right. Is that yours?
No.
That girl's going somewhere.
Amen.
She didn't even have to relook at her picture. You're too old, you're too young, you're too this, you're too that, you can't fight. David said, I'm going to opt to fight. I'm going after it. Verses 38 and 30 and through 40 says this. And Saul dressed David in his tunic and put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. And David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried to walk around because he was not used to them. Can you imagine? It looked like a little kid going out playing in the snow. I cannot go in these. He said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. And he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the stream and put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag. And with a sling in his hand, he approached the destructive enemy. The next D is just this. Determine what you have. I think it's key. What do you got in your hand? He asked Moses that same thing. What do you got in your hand? Don't try to dress in somebody else's clothes. God's got you. God's given you things. You got stuff. We need to dare to ask, what if I get through this? We need to choose or opt to fight. And then we need to determine what we have. We got a whole body of believers that are ready to anoint you and pray over you and go with you in battle. You got a lot. You got the Word of God. Determine what you have. Not what someone else has. Not what someone else has. We are so quick. We are so quick to focus on what we don't have. I can't do that. I don't have that. I don't have that. I don't have that. I don't have that. Well, you can make a pretty long list of what you don't have and then take that out with a red truck that's coming. Put it in a black bag. sit it there and just watch through the window. Just pull down the screen just a little bit so you can see. And not too long. You have to be up early at our house anyway. Not too long, this big red truck will drive by our house. And he'll take that one too. And then sit down and say, God, what do I have? What do I got? Start making a list of stuff that's already in your arsenal. Verse 37, I couldn't leave it out. I couldn't. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this destructive enemy. I've got a history with God. I preached a message a few years ago at New Life. It says, when you're up against it, get historical, not hysterical. Start remembering what God's done in your life. Because if you don't get historical, you'll get hysterical. And then you'll stay under the oak tree, behind the thorn hedge, just happy to be alive. Nice clothes, cool sneakers. And I got this in big, bold letters. Push the button, please. I promise you, what you have will not be all you need. We need to get that in our heads. Do you understand that? What you have is not all that you'll need. So if you say, I don't have all I need, you just realize you don't got all you need. That doesn't mean you don't go. If you wait until you got all you need, you're going to miss something that God's going to put in your pocket on the way to defeat the destructive enemy. Get into your Ezekiel and get your pieces of your Legos and the instructions. That God can put you together. But what you have is key. I wrote that in my notes with an exclamation point after it. What you have is key. It's just not enough. The enemy will try to convince you, see, you don't have enough. You said, you're right, I don't have enough. It's along the way. I will not stay under the oak tree anymore. I watched person after person at New Life come off and under the oak tree and with brothers and sisters beside him defeat. I just celebrated with a guy that he was part of New Life for 2 years. And one day, just before I was preaching, I was up just sitting with my hands down like this, just before I went up to preach. And all of a sudden I see this guy. I feel somebody right up here against me. And I opened my eyes and it was him and he was weeping. He'd just given his life to Christ. Tattoos. Ponytail. A guy you wouldn't want to meet in the alley. And then day after day, weekend after weekend, I would get called to his house and he's drunk. And he would have his alcohol sitting on the truck. And I would go and I would just put my hand on the truck and he'd come over and he'd protect that alcohol. And I said, Bill, I will never touch it because if I take it, it won't stay away. I baptized his wife 2 weeks ago and Bill has celebrated 1 year zero alcohol. He's getting to his Ezekiel because he's got people. Because he's got the Spirit of the living God. Because he's got family. Because he's got stuff. And he's not afraid to move toward the next piece of what God's doing in his life. He came to Christ during the offering. Hallelujah. Who comes to Christ during the offering? We call it halftime at New Life because it's we're pretty loud. We're kind of cranky and stuff. We just move around. And people get coffee. People are getting coffee. People are taking up offering. People are going to the bathroom. Bill's coming to Christ. Guess when God moves, God moves, hey? So we take up an offering every Sunday. I don't want to miss another soul. But he's not afraid.
He has opted to fight. He's determined what he has. Verse 40 says this. He chose 5 smooth stones from the stream. The next point is this. Get what you don't have. Just get what you don't have. Pick it up on the way. Pick it up. You know why he didn't have those stones when he was talking to Saul? Because the stream didn't go through Saul's camp. It didn't go through his tent. As he started to move, and he's got all this stuff, and all of a sudden I think he says, hey, wait a minute, I don't got no rocks. I got no ammunition. Oh, there they are. See, I think that's faith. That's moving when we don't see all the pieces together yet. The destructive enemy, you know the end of the story. You know, you look on the flannel graph, Goliath's about ready to fall off the flannel graph board. I don't think I've got a new story for anybody, but I think I'm onto something here. Pick the stones up as he went. And just jumping ahead to verse 51. Look at it, he said, David ran and stood over him. This is after he's on the ground. He took hold of the Philistine sword, the destructive enemy. He's using the own destructive enemy's weapon against him. Listen, he didn't leave there with a sword. But he finished the deal with the sword. The sword that God provided along the way. Count what you got, but get what you need. And it's there. It's there. When you go after the destructive enemy, it's there. You can get what you don't have. It will need to be found as you go. Verse 45, let me end with this, which means I only have 3 more pages of notes. No, that's not true. I'm having fun. I am. I love preaching the Word of God. I think we have to work really hard to make it boring. Some guys work really hard, don't they? Dude, just let it go. It's the Word of God. It's the living, breathing Word of God. You must have worked 30 hours this week to take the life out of it. I hate boring messages. Do you? You don't like them either, do you? How about you, Kevin? No, you don't like them. He's like, Jeff, sorry. I just renamed you. Kevin. Robert, you behave. I'll go. I promise. Verse 45. David said to the destructive enemy, you come at me against me with sword and a spear and a javelin. Hang on. But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled for the very last time in my life. Push the button, Robert. I think we need to expect victory. You dare to think about the victory, but don't forget to expect it. You are in the name of the Lord your God. Jeffrey Kevin. I am on my last page of notes. Dare to ask what if. Opt to fight. Determine what you have. Get what you don't have. Expect to win. Let me read the end of that story. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward and shouted and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gate of Ekron. Their dead were strewn along Sarum, along the Sarum road to Gath and Ekron. When the Israelites returned from chasing the Philistines, they plundered their camp. Sarum means double gate, and Ekron means barren place. Now let me read it again. The soldiers of God, and may my God be praised, surged forward with a shout and pursued the destructive enemy to the gate of the winepress and to the gates of the barren place. Their dead was strewn along the double gate road to the winepress and to the barren place where they belong. You don't. When the soldiers of God returned from chasing the destructive enemy, they took the pieces that God was going to add to their life. How about it? Woo! What's lacking? Who's stopping you? Go get it. Watch what God's going to do. Can I pray for you? Father, you are an amazing God. And David knew. He chose. He dared to dream about a life with God. About coming on the other side of that enemy. He opted to fight. He determined what he had. He got what he didn't have. And he stood in your shadow. And you gave victory. And then he came back. And he got the pieces that you were going to add to his life. God, I know that the enemy has got stuff that's this group of people's. He's got stuff that's theirs. God, I know that he's got stuff. He's got family members. He's got sound mind. He's got love. He's got victory that is this group of peoples. I pray that in the weeks, the days, and the weeks to come, that Jeff would know the next piece to his life. In the next days and weeks and months, you would put this group of people together like no one else could be put together. And Rochester will never be the same. Because this group of people decided not to dodge the battle anymore, but to go get the victory and to harvest from the Azekah everything you have for them. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Let's thank the Lord for the gift he gave us tonight. So for those of you who honor English, you have to forgive me. Ain't nothing gonna hold me back no more, no more. Ain't nothing gonna hold me back. Ain't nothing gonna hold me back no more, no more. Ain't nothing gonna hold me back. Ain't nothing gonna hold me back no more, no more. Ain't nothing gonna hold me back. Are you gonna go get your pieces?
Amen. Amen.
Are you gonna go get your pieces? Do you know there's a whole field of harvest out there that has your name on it?
Amen.
Lord, we send your sons and daughters to get the peace that you've ordained for them. We say there is not a single thing that will hinder them from being your vessel. A vessel of compassion to do miracles. A vessel of grace to bring new truth. A vessel of healing to set captives free. Lord, there is not a single thing that is going to hold us back from the destiny that you have for us. Lord, we send them now to the places you have called them to walk, that they will plant, they will nurture, and they will harvest for your glory. Lord, we say, even as was prayed, bring them the next piece, that they will put it on, and it won't just sit there and look pretty, but it will be activated by your Spirit for your glory. Lord, we thank you that there is not anything that is going to hold us back no more. Lord, have your way in us, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I wish Ed would get over his shyness. There literally are pieces all over the place. It looks like my grandson's table. There are refreshments in the fellowship hall. Please stay in fellowship and don't let the enemy take your pie anymore, or your pizza, or your cake, or your future. Amen? I love you all. Have a blessed week.